Blog Talk Radio.
I wish there was a video game to teach your ancestor name. I wish there was a phone number like 1-800-SAVE-YOUR-BROTHER. I'm thankful for the radio station, not afraid to put the truth in rotation. But there is certain information that you can only get in conversation with young people.
Morning to you. This is First Ladies Blog Talk Radio. I am your host, Suzlynn McDonald. I am coming to you from amazing, wonderful, clear skies, sun shining on both sides of the streets, Las Vegas, Nevada. As you know, our little housework that we do every time is that we ask you to sit back, get your cup of coffee, some hot tea, water, whatever it takes for you to be relaxed for the next 26 minutes, I would say, 25 to 26 minutes. But what I'd like to do right now is to I'm going to bring in my co-host who's going to be hosting the show today, and I'll let you tell her tell you everything about the show today that has it. You know, she's running the show today, and I'm excited. She was baby handful until the middle of the night almost last night. Good morning, Lady Kathy. And now she's awake.
Good morning,
and ready
Lady
to roll. How are you, my darling?
Yeah. I am so wonderful today. God is so good. Oh, yeah.
Oh, no.
Yes. Yesterday, it was Granny Daycare.
Uh-oh, there you go. We have those days, don't we?
Yes, we do. I'm really thankful for my grandchildren. I was telling my husband what I most love about having my grandchildren come over is that they want to come over. And that is that's a blessing, because
yes,
you know,
it is.
There's grandmothers who you don't want to see, don't want to be bothered. Your mothers can't leave you there, and most of all, they don't want to see you either. So I'm not that grandmother. I love having my grandkids there. Yeah, that is so awesome. How are you doing today?
I'm fantastic. I'm excited about your show. I'm looking at the title, but I'm gonna let you do all of that today. I want to be the co-host today and watch, look, and listen right now and learn. I want to glean right now. So I'm going to turn the show over to you. And ladies and gentlemen, again, if you'd like to call in, the phone number is area code 347-324-5730. Again, the number is 347-324-5730. Lady Kathy, it's your show today, and you call me in when you're ready for me to interject. Go for it.
I'm excited about the show, too, and what you don't know is I'm going to be interviewing you.
Oh, you sneaky thing, you. Okay.
Yeah, I thought it was time to turn the tides here for a change. Today I'm putting you on the spot.
Okay. Oh, boy, I'm scared of that. Okay, here we go.
Don't be scared. You know what I love about you is that... You trust me. It'll be wonderful.
Okay, I'm gonna see. Okay, I'm ready.
And what I love is today's title of our show is Former First Ladies and the Legacy They Left. I know from self-experience and from talking to you that you left a great legacy. As we're very transparent on this show. And so with that being said, we know that our listening audience know that you are now a divorced first lady.
Yeah.
Your husband and yourself decided to dissolve the marriage. However, with you being in that position for over 20 years, you have left a legacy in that ministry. And some of the tags that I have is footprint and legacy and foundation. And in order to be a first lady, there are things we touched on this last week, which sparked this conversation today, is because when you were there, there were things that you developed, that you input into the ministry that's still going strong because of you and the legacy that you left in that ministry. And one of the things that you talked about was that your when you had the vision for when you had the vision of the music ministry, the praise dance ministry, and how you brought the young ladies under your wing and you just taught them and you trained them and developed them. Now, my first question is, how do you feel after leaving the ministry and no longer being in that position of the first lady per se? What type of imprint did that leave on you? What type of imprint did that leave on your heart?
Well, the first thing it left, there's a vacancy. I've never given birth, but I understand now when women give birth after they have the baby, you know, that emptiness inside the stomach and the womb from carrying that baby for 9 months, for patting your tummy, from feeling the movement of new life inside your body, protecting it, because a lot of people want to come up and touch your stomach while you're pregnant. I felt that postpartum depression. I actually went through a postpartum depression, yes. The separation of being away from my children, being not connected to the family that I had become a part of through marriage. Not saying that I'm separated from my husband and the children. We're still, matter of fact, we're better friends now than we ever were, because we have a different understanding. But the other part of that is that the kids and I stay in contact on Facebook even. They call me. My phone number is still the same. The whole thing, the best thing I could tell you is initially I felt postpartum depression.
My God, that is pretty, pretty serious. And the depression was the result of, because I know I had postpartum depression one time. I had three children that I had birthed naturally. And after the last one, I had postpartum depression. And it was horrible. I didn't know what it was, and I didn't understand it. And I thought I was literally going nuts. I thought I was losing my mind. It was such a hard pregnancy. But after that, the results, her father and I were going through we were separated and getting ready to get divorced. We were just waiting for the child to be born. But carrying that seed with that heavy load on me while I was pregnant, once I delivered, all cashing down on me at once. And it was a total hormonal shift mentally. And I totally understand it. So I can relate, because it is like losing a child. Not losing a child. It's like after having your baby, and then you have a hormonal shift. And I really, going through the divorce process, knowing I was getting ready to go through the divorce process, I really had a vacancy that was there, kind of like we alluded to, because it affected my self-worth. And when you've been in the ministry as long as you were, over 20 years, that was your life. And so now the life that you were so accustomed to and used to has taken a turn, and it's almost like, what do I do now? My life is uncertain. This has been my routine. And so what did you do to help combat that struggle?
Wow. To be perfectly honest with you, I removed myself from the entire city. I didn't. When God said go, you know, I understand when Lot's wife, when God said go, don't look back. I understand when Moses had to take all the people and he got to look at the promised land but not be able to go into it. There was a lot of things that I wanted to implement into the ministry and that I did implement, but to that feeling of when I had to leave, and most people would disagree, but I can only go by what God has done, and you know me. When God told me to go now, I left everything. And when I say everything, and that is something that I think the First Ladies do, I left everything. The only thing I took was some of my jewelry. I took some of my books that were important that would be able to sustain me. I took very little. I left everything, car, everything. And my reason for doing that is because that's the way God told me to go. But the hope of being removed and not being there, but yet and still I would call and check in. And it was almost like covering that we had separated, that I was here and he was there. So with me, with the whole situation, I still, although I was in Vegas and he was there, and I had been removed from the church, still trying to make it look like, act like everything was still good until I finally came into the realization that I could not lie any longer. It was like a double-barrel shotgun being shot, and I had to shoot it. And not only did I have to shoot it, I had to make sure my aim was correct. Because my divorce and our relationship, just to give a little background, is because when we got married, we were only married, I think, 2 to maybe 3 weeks when his first wife from his youth got killed in a car accident with the kids in the car. And because that happened that way, and I was still modeling and acting and singing, so I was able to call my travel agent and get us on the plane, like, immediately. But on that plane ride, to be able to see him broken, you know, because he wasn't there when it happened. The bottom line being is when we arrived there, I became the enemy. And I'm not necessarily that they wanted it that way, but I became the enemy because, of course, they were so young. They wanted their mother, and they were wishing it were me. And I even said it to them. I would have wished it to be me because I don't have any children. I have no legacy.
Wow.
I would not want the children to suffer. So our marriage went through a process of because it happened on Thanksgiving Eve. Every year from October, from November 1st to end of January, which you've got Christmas, you got Thanksgiving, you got Christmas, you've got New Year's, you got my birthday on the 6th of January. And it didn't really end till really, if I really think about it, till around February after Valentine's. And then it was like the dirt was turned over and new life would take place again. But the same situation would happen throughout the marriage because of, you know, that situation. But bottom line, Ben, you got to remember, the ministry was established before I got there. She had helped him establish that ministry. I had met her, wonderful woman. And when this, that was one of the reasons that even after we got married, I told him I will not disrespect her ever. But the other part of it is, you know, she's still going to the church and everything. I will live in Las Vegas. You live there. She lives there. I will not live in Ohio. But when this happened, I was uprooted completely, and I had to move there to help him with the children. So when I say a double-barrel shotgun, that had happened to me twice, it felt like, because I gave up my home here, and I thought I was going to help, you know, help in the situation, which I realize now, and they do too, that I did help. But the battle was so bad that, you know, every single year, and I didn't know how to fix it because, you know, women, we're about fixing it. We're trying to find a solution. And I began, especially towards the latter of the marriage, I began to feel more like a part of the problem, not the solution. So consequently, my moving and being uprooted, the whole thing being that it was just, again, the kids and I, the younger children that came up while I was there, that came up under me, you know, that were my children in the Lord, because there is a difference that people need to know in the church. If there was a previous marriage and they are adults and they grew up under the first wife, those are her children. So now here I'm stepmother to the kids in my home, and I'm stepmother to the children in the church. But their children became my children. And those are the children that I started with the praise dance. And I created a theater ministry, and I used it as a form of deliverance, from making the costumes to taking them through the process, because I knew that that was one way that we could work through the death of the first lady to me, and being able to give them avenue to express themselves through theater, through dance, through just, you know, what I knew to do. So that's basically, you know, it's a lot when you think about it. But, you know, I look at them today, the kids. As a matter of fact, the youngest one followed me to Vegas. You know, he said, I'm not leaving him. So he's here. And our relationship.
Yes,
is,
I know. That's
you know,
my baby.
That's my baby. If I ever would have given birth, that's him. Yeah.
That's him.
But go ahead. Oh, gosh.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And, you know, it is, you know, with what you're saying, you bring in so many good points. But when you come to a ministry, and I remember the ex-wife as well, wonderful person, sweet spirit, just awesome woman of God. And when you come into a ministry where you have a person who, and you guys have totally different personalities. Let's just put that out there.
Oh, yeah. It's
totally different personalities. And so you, the ministry is used to having one type of flavor on it. And then that's gone. And then not only did the divorce affect or hurt, well, they were divorced prior to you getting married, of course. And then she died shortly after you guys got married. But the ministry had, you said a double barrel shotgun, but it was also in another way because you, just by them getting divorced, and I know the church well, thriving, popping church. It was like it in Middletown. And by them getting a divorce had a serious effect and impact on the ministry because there were people there who totally loved her and him as well. But then they get divorced, so that's an impact on the ministry. And then in pops you, and they're not over what happened with their situation. And then you come in, and, you know, it's hard to be embraced immediately when there was a former first lady there prior to yourself.
Exactly.
And so, you know, you're looking
and
at them, they're looking at you. And
she's still in the pew. But it was okay.
So she never left.
Because she and I had an understanding, and I never, ever crossed that line. Because, again, when you, we can interject this part. I came from a divorced family, so I knew how to be a second. You know what I mean? I knew how to be second. I'm number two in my family. I know how to be second. And that, you know, even now that kind of hits me in my gut because you get to the point where you say, wait a minute, I have walked in a second position with somebody in front of me for a long time, and I know how to do that well. But in her death, when her death took place, I was still second, but I was first, supposedly. I don't know how to explain that as of yet, and I know in detail we'll do it at the time. But the whole thing being, yes, she had a very sweet spirit. We are very different. I mean, people would, the things that people did to her, I wasn't going to allow to happen to me because that's just who I am. But again, as I said, and I know that that was a shock not only to her but to the ministry too. But, you know, one thing that I was told by my husband, and at the time he told me, he said when she passed away that he had seen her right before he came to Vegas, I think it was, I don't know when it was. I can't really use a date. It was, or it might have been prior to our marriage. And she told him that he was going to get married again and that she had taken him as far as she could take him. And I don't remember all the details exactly, But even in the marriage, he can actually attest to this too. Again, speaking of that being second and being knowing how to sacrifice that others may live. Many times in our marriage, because when I did have to move to, when I did go to Ohio, before I made the decision, I'm not going to live in Ohio because that's a line. It's weird. She and I had a good understanding, but if it was a situation where there were football dinners and award things, I didn't go, and I said I wasn't going. Because that was her time. She's the one that gave birth to those children. She's the one that should be able to get the glory while being there. You know, and then when I have my own children, yes. But the thing is, again, in giving so much respect, I think that I diminished who I was. Because, again, as I said, I know how to be invisible as a second. I know how to be invisible and still do what I need to do to be – not to thrive, but just survive. And I don't want to live as just a survive. I want to thrive and be the best I can be. So getting back to one part of that, she said she knew she was going to pass away, from what I understand, and that she had taken him as far as he could go, that he was going to get married again. That's before he even met me. And I can put this out now. This man knew my mother and my family for over 30 years. I never met him. I'd spoken to him when I lived in Europe and when I lived in New York, and he ministered over the phone. That was it. But by the time I got after her death, you know, one of his cousins had told the kids I had been with him before while he was still married. It was a mess. And there were a lot of things that were said that were very much untrue, which also caused me to go into even more of a shell and want to disappear. And this is because I also know there's another side of me, because I actually told one of them. I took my finger and drew a line on the carpet. I said, I don't care what you do, but when you start crossing that line and coming in where my worship is and where God is, you're going to meet a tiger. I said, I look nice, and yes, I'm cute, but I'm telling you there's another woman under here that God is still trying to deliver. So they have to see that, they got to see that I wasn't anything to play with. Then I had another incident with one of the daughters in the Lord. You know her, Gracie. And she got really, like, disrespectful. And before I knew it, I had her around her neck in the air. And he was running out. But again, it was everybody else was protected, but I wasn't protected. Because he knew them. He didn't. He knew their, because we didn't get to date and all that stuff. He knew their character. He didn't know my character. So to see me with his child in the air, not his birth child, but a child of the Lord, you know, he knew, he thought it was all about me. But then the bottom line being I was at fault because I never should have choked the baby, but the bottom line being is I was over the top. And that is when I decided to move away, and I came back home because I said, these people are causing me to go back to my old nature. And we agreed because I needed to be over here anyway in Vegas for my being able to get for my business. But bottom line being, the whole process caused me as a first lady that was really the second lady. That's why, as a matter of fact, I'm writing my book, First Lady, the Last Lady. I don't know in the Bible where it says anything about a first lady. You know, God tells us to honor us and all of that, but there's no word first lady. So that's why my book is called First Lady.
No, that's man-made.
And bottom line being, that's why I'm writing the book. I have to write the book. But the good things that have come out of this whole thing, either the legacy that I have left, is that a lot of them went into the arts, or they were able to make a wise decision if they wanted to be in the arts or what they want to do. Instead of working at working at those places where you take, and everybody has a place to work. I don't take it from them, but it gave them more choices. That in Middletown, I think, or in Ohio, you can be work at those, AK Steel companies, or you can go in those places.
Oh, yeah, the foundries and the factories.
It just gave them another outlook and another choice. And even being a seamstress, because with the kids, Or to be a designer, because when I brought the arts in, we stayed up all night, and the kids did too. I had them help me sew their their outfits that they were going to wear. I was teaching Amanda fish instead of giving them a bunch of fish and changing their thought pattern because I could see so many talents. So the legacy that I did leave, if I can say nothing else, is choices. Choices.
Awesome.
And being from Vegas, you know, when I got to the church, you know, they think of TNA, and we all know what that means because of the shows here. They thought I was going to be a slut from old something, I guess. I don't know. But the preconceived idea of who I was kind of threw them off. But by the time I left, you know, they now that I'm gone, they get to see that the anointing really was on me and is on me today. It's even better now because now I know who I am and what I am. I'm not second. I'm not going to accept a second position. And I don't have to. So I'll let you go from there.
While you were speaking, I'm a second child.
Mm-hmm.
And my husband also has been married prior to, but I've never felt second. I've always felt first. My sister was older, and even though she was older, I was the more of the person that acted in that position of first and more responsible.
Mm-hmm.
I was there. I even nurtured her. So and then and while you were talking about the ministry, I never felt second in the ministry. So I don't know if it's but you know I don't make myself disappear for one thing. You know I'm there. I don't cower down. I don't take less than just because I came after. And so that's not been my mentality. And maybe that's the difference. And I know normally that's not your personality as well.
Again, you got to look at, though, you got to look at one other part of that. Again, you grew up in that type of church. I grew up in Catholic church. I went to church for 30 minutes, did a stand, knee, bow, took the communion, and I was out of Dodge. The other part of that is that I also went into a traumatic situation. So I had to disappear in order to get a full vision of everything that was going on so I would know how to help. Now, like I said, I grew up, when you're a second, you know yourself, you just said it. You have to learn how to find your place. That's first. But in order to find my place in this conglomerate, this church thing, all new people, no family there. I had nobody of me. To be there and to go in, it's traumatic. Not only is it traumatic, you're dealing with two children that have been injured. When we arrived, the oldest one was still in the glass from the from the wreck. You got one child that nobody knew where he was because they life flighted him, and we found him. So it was a lot. So I had to physically and emotionally, I had to actually let me not exist, that I could be effective in what I was doing. Plus, these people didn't know me, and I didn't know what they were going to do to me. So my becoming
invisible. So that was more survival. You went into survival mode, I would say.
Well, no, not survival. I didn't need to survive. I went into that position as not to be so visual that I could see how to assist or how to help.
Yeah,
that's what I was trying to know about
survivor. You were kind of filling out the situation. They were filling you out, you know, and seeing.
No, they weren't thinking about me. They weren't even thinking about me. As I said, when we arrived
at the
plane.
You're talking about after the accident.
Yes. I didn't get married there. I got married here in Vegas. So after the accident, no, I wasn't disappearing. Now, how can I disappear, really? But I wasn't disappearing, but I needed to be in an objective position. When we got off the plane, they picked us up. We arrived at Sister Sarah's house, went into the house, and I look in the bed, and the baby is still in the bloody clothes and the glass. His dad, I tell him, take your clothes off or just leave a suit on. Get in the shower with that baby and wash it. He can't do it by himself. After we get him taken care of, we got to find the second child. We get the phone call. We know where he is. We got to go to the hospital and deal with that. And plus the oldest son, you know, having to go with us and see the result of the car accident because she made him drive, and he had just got his license. So it's a lot of dynamics to that. So consequently, instead of me going, and when I say visible, I didn't make myself visible is because that wasn't a time for me to be visible. We have like about 18 seconds. Yeah. And I think that maybe we should carry
so
this over. We should carry this over because even
the
questions that you're asking me, it's a deliverance for me. I'm going to let you close the show.
I got it.
Yeah.
Well, Lady Susan, this has been an awesome, phenomenal show. And I thank you so much. You didn't know that you were going to be the spot on the spotlight today. But I
no.
will tell you, it was so phenomenal. And I know, as you often say, everybody doesn't call in, but we know they're out there. We know they're listening. We know they're taking,
yeah.
they're looking into what we're talking about. And I'm pretty sure, because my mother, this is what sparked it for me, is a former first lady. And I saw the
yeah.
way she was done. So there are people out there who need to hear this. Because a lot of times they feel thrown away. They feel like, what's the purpose in life now? Because they've committed. And we know this as First Ladies. Your whole life is wrapped up in the ministry.
Oh, yeah.
And so
yeah.
I just want to take the time to thank you for being so transparent today. And there's things that I didn't even hear about until today. And I know it was just the grace of God on your life that allowed you to go through that at this time. Because just listening to it, I'm feeling some kind of way. But thank God that he used you as the sacrifice and the footprint and the legacy that you left on that ministry and the indelible impression that you left on the lives of those people will never be forgotten. I thank God for you.
Well, I thank you as well. And you know what? I want you to carry this on next week. On Friday. And also, we want to talk about the word sacrifice. Because I want to leave you with one final thing. Growing up, I always said, I will be the sacrificial lamb. Somebody has got to be sacrificed that everybody else will be okay. Let's talk about that when we talk about the continuation of former First Ladies and the legacy they left. This is First Ladies Broadcast Radio, and I tell you, my co-host has busted me today, as she usually does. And we want to have you back on Friday. I'm going to have her host the show again on Friday. I love it that you shocked me into this, but I also love it that you allowed yourself to just go ahead and take over. And I'm going to let you go ahead and close out talking about Hands of Comfort and also your ministry so that we can actually shut the evening down and be back on Friday at 10 a.m. to 10:30 every Monday through Friday. Wow. Go ahead.
Well, as always, we want to give honor to our sponsors, which is Hands of Comfort Foundation. And this is a foundation that if you have had any kind of traumatic experience, be it the death of a loved one, a loss, a divorce, anything that's going on, suicide in your life, Hands of Comfort is there for you, and that number is 24 hours. You get a live person 24 hours a day. And that number, Lady Susie, if you can tell them that, I would so appreciate it.
702-683-6373. Again, the number is 702-683-6373. Thank you.
And the other sponsor is Destined for Glory World Outreach Ministries, where the pastor is Pastor Tony Howard. The address, 6037 South Rainbow Boulevard, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89118. And you can also listen on 24-Hour Gospel every Wednesday at 4 a.m. for those of you who are on the East Coast, and 4 p.m. at 24hourgospel.com. As always, we're always happy to hear from you, talk to you, be here for you. Sign in this Friday, actually. We're going to continue this awesome topic, 10 o'clock a.m. Pacific Standard Time. God bless. Have a wonderful day. Love you, Lady Susie.
You too, baby girl. My goodness, you got it.
All right, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.